Blog Talk Radio.
This is Master Griot Radio, channel 13 on your NBBTA Internet Radio dial. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and I am your host for this moment in time. It's time for purpose-driven words, shaping thoughts, building minds, true wealth, communities, and legacies.
If my words had wings, they'd fly to you each day.
Thank you.
Hello, this is Pure Tea Marketing Madness, and I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, and it's all about marketing, and we're so mad we're having Christmas in July, and we're planning to profit this holiday season. We are into part two today. Last week, we gave a little background, and we'll give a little recap. We have a special guest today, affiliate marketing expert, Belito Garcia of Gentry Living. So we're going to bring on Belito Garcia, and we're going to get the conversation started. We want to be talking all about marketing, and we're hoping that you're planning to profit this holiday season. And just in case you wanted to know why we're so wild about marketing, we're wild about marketing simply because you can have the best business plan, the best business structure, and all the money in the world, but if you do not market your business, it's the core of the business. It's what gets the product or service to the customer. It's the process of getting them there and making the sale. So always have to invest in your marketing, and your marketing always keeps you going back and reviewing your business plan, your structure, and your product development. Your marketing will always drive that. So I'm going to bring on Belito Garcia of Gentry Living. Hello, hello. Belito.
Hey, how are you doing,
hello?
Jacqueline?
I'm
can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me today?
Yes, I can hear you today.
That's great. All right. Well, you know, the world wants to know, who is Belito Garcia?
All right. Well, I mean, I've been a lot of things, from an actor to a model. You know, I've hosted a lot of several shows. But I am one of the business development consultants for Gentry Living. And, you know, Gentry Living is a company that works with, you know, a lot of different entrepreneurs. And basically what we do is just help them build a successful online business through coaching, mentoring, and, you know, holding them accountable for, you know, sticking with their marketing strategies and just doing what it is that they want to do to be able to get to where they want to be. And that's what Gentry
right.
does. Yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty good. All righty. So, where are you from, or where you work out of?
Well, Gentry Living is basically in, you know, we work off, you know, off the internet. We don't have a brick and mortar office. Since we promote a lot of people to basically, even though you have a brick and mortar business, we still promote them to have a website or some kind of web presence, and we do everything basically off the internet. And
okay. All righty. And you yourself, you're from or where you're out of?
Well, I'm from Philadelphia.
Okay.
Philadelphia, this is where I grew up. I was originally born in Africa. I was raised here, though. That's why you don't hear the accent.
Okay. What part of Africa were you born in?
I was born in Angola.
Okay.
Yeah, which is
all righty.
Southeast or Southwest, I guess, Southwest Africa, closer to South Africa.
Okay.
Yeah.
All righty. So we have an East Coast man, originally from Africa, on the line, who's been a model, an actor, promoter, host shows, and he's also an affiliate marketing expert, and he works with business development for Gentry Living. Goals is help you to develop a successful online business. Now, I just want to share with some of the audience where we started as far as Christmas in July. Last week, we were talking about planning and, you know, the structure, your framework. And one of the first points we mentioned that why Christmas in July is a few points. One, people are starting to shop earlier. And in this economy, you may think, well, with this kind of economy, why are people even caring about Christmas? But they do. And because the economy is so tight, people are not looking to get in as much debt. They're not trying to put Christmas on a credit card bill. They're looking for deals. The internet lends to so much research. So they're taking the time to get the best price and to be able to still get what they want within their budget. And they're spreading out their, you know, they're not going to buy everything at once so that they don't get as much debt, which means they're starting earlier. And you have to be prepared for those people that are shopping. The question is, even while they're searching and investigating, is your message going to be in front of that consumer? Will you be one of the businesses that they choose or put on their list when they're ready to shop? So if you wait until September, October to start preparing, you're behind the eight ball on a large number of consumers. And every year, the number of consumers start shopping early is growing. And a lot of it is mainly because of the recession, and people want to spend their dollars more wisely. And they want to take time and spread it out instead of doing it all at once. So that's why we're planning now. So we're looking at a 90-day plan to fully implement your strategy. I'm looking at starting in August. So if you do all your writing and everything in August and get everything going, September, you can start flowing things out. By October, you have it solid. You've tested some things. You see what's working, what's flowing, what's best. By October, when people are really making their decisions, you're out there. And you also are prepared to react and respond to whatever circumstances are prevalent. One of the things we want to look at are trends. We want to start looking at what are going to be the trends for the fall. And for those that are shopping for toys and all, or anything around that, what's going to be the new Elmo? I remember back in the day it was Cabbage Patch. Then you had Elmo. It's like every year there's some toy that people stand in lines for, can't find anymore, and they will do anything and pay any kind of money to get one of those things for their children. So what is that going to be this year? What does that look like? You know, what is that item going to be? And a lot of these different questions, and you look at one in your product development. Today we'll be talking about affiliate marketing. So some things we are going to talk about, when we talk about it, I'm going to throw out some ideas of what are good products for the holiday season. So even if it's not your core product, if you're going to choose to do affiliate marketing, you may want to look at some of these. Another thing, too, another idea, good way to draw traffic, especially if you like the blog, you can report on different special savings. Long as it doesn't compete with your product, on complementary products, you can make suggestions and referrals to products that complement your product. And, you know, best choices, where to get the best deals. And also it would be good to do cross-promotions with people who carry those type of products. So they're all different type of different things you can do. So in this process, I want you to start brainstorming to find some creative ways to promote, do cross-promotions to really get yourself out there. So through this whole series, so we have our one core thing we're looking at while we're starting early is because people are searching and shopping earlier. So we need to have our message in line. We don't need to be starting to work on it in September. September, October, we need to have the message there so it's in front of the consumer. The next thing that we're going to look at is when you start, you want to start by reaching out to your past customers. So those are the first in line. You want to get those customers in line. And this is for a few reasons. You definitely, you know, your past customers, those are the special people. You want repeat business. So give them an exclusive sale or exclusive discount, something that's just for your past customers. So you give them an inside sale, something exclusive just for them. Then also in that light, you need to look at who your customers. Know them intimately. Know everything about them, because those people who have purchased, they're the guidelines for the people who you should be going after. If people like this were attracted, and people who did this, people located here, or people who do these type of things, have these type of interests, purchase from you, then those are the same type of people you want to go after. And where do you find those people? How do you find those people? Where do they congregate at? What do they read? Where do they surf at on the internet? What type of words, what type of things are they looking for? What kind of keywords do they search for? All of these type of things you need to get to know. You need to get to know your target market intimately. If you don't and you're still guessing and you cannot clearly define who your target or audience is, and not just their demographics, but even more important are what they call the psychographics. What are their behaviors? What are the things that they like? What are the things they like to do? Because this will tell you where to find them. And if you know where to find them, then those are the places you promote. There's no point in promoting places where your audience is not. But this will save you time and energy, save you a lot of money, because no matter what, at the end of the day, you have to advertise. That's our last segment. But after we give you all these wonderful ideas, best way to go for a low budget and high impact, you still have to spend money and advertise. You have to spend money on your marketing. You may want to, if you need to focus on a product, getting the product together and develop, then you may need to partner with someone for your campaign. And that's where a person like myself, a marketing strategist, a group like Gentry Living, that's what we're here for, to support you, to help you get your campaign together and get yourself in line for the holiday season. And especially if you have a small staff, it's only so much you can do. So this is where you strategically outsource so that you get the best bang for your buck. So, we also talked about search engine optimization, but I am going to look to bring in someone else to talk a little bit more on that, and I'm going to go over that a little bit more a little bit later. I will break on some things, but before we get started on affiliate marketing, I just want to do one thing, and I'll throughout today, I want to give you keywords. So we're going to talk about some holiday keywords. And what you want to do in these keywords, I'm giving you 78 of the most frequently searched holiday keywords on the web. What I want you to do is incorporate these keywords. It's going to be hard to use them alone, but you want to incorporate these keywords into your keywords. And you want to make sure they're incorporated on your site. So we're going to look at, I'm going to name the first 18 really quick. So you have to be ready to write this down. Advent, you know, like the Advent season, A-D-V-E-N-T. Then angel, baby Jesus. Bell, Bing Crosby. Blitzen, as in the reindeer. Candles, candy cane. Carol, Chanukah, cards, chimney, Christian, Christmas, Christmas cookies, Christmas crafts, Christmas Eve, Christmas lights. Now, in incorporating these keywords, also, if you need to name a campaign, name a product, give it a name. You could have Blitzen Barbecue. Who knows? You know, if you have do an event and you could have a Blitzen Barbecue for the holiday season. There are all different type of things you can do, but learn to incorporate these words because these are the most popular words and these are what people are searching for when they're looking for anything relevant to the holiday season. So on that, we are going to go back to Belito Garcia. And the first question is, and what everyone wants to know, What is affiliate marketing? Can you, like, clearly define it for us? What's affiliate marketing?
Affiliate marketing is pretty much a way for a company to sell its products by signing up individuals or other companies known as affiliates who market the company's products for a commission. And the affiliate, they make, you know, their commission based off of their efforts in generating traffic to the company that they're working with, generating traffic to their site. That's basically what affiliate marketing is.
Okay. So I guess the next step is for people who do affiliate marketing, people who may not use affiliate marketing, how do you work affiliate marketing into a holiday selling strategy?
All right. With the holidays in mind, what you want to do is whatever product or service that you provide, and it's it's like you mentioned earlier, you want to find other products or other services that are just not the same as your product because you don't want to be in competition, but products or other services that will complement what it is that you're already selling or providing. And then you, with affiliate marketing, what you do is you almost like cross-promoting. You know, you say, hey, you know, for instance, if, what can I think of that I'm selling? If I'm a photographer, then I might work with, a club maybe. And I'll promote the club, you know, events at the club and, you know, provide my services as a photographer. Where it's not really costing me anything to promote the club, but at the same time, I can end up getting, you know, maybe book some photo shoots or maybe even, just a few portraits that night at the club because there might be people having birthdays or celebrating anniversaries and they want, you know, to remember those that celebration. So with you being a photographer at that event, at that club, now you can in some kind of way promote them as an affiliate and also generate traffic and business for yourself. Now, with the holidays coming up, one of the best things that you can do for holidays is to tell your customers, there's different ways. I mean, one of the tactics that you can do is, you know, kind of like telling your customers, oh, this will go good with this, or this will go good for that. You know, this will make a great gift for your mom. You know, or telling somebody, you know, for instance, we're dealing with entrepreneurs, this will make a great gift for an entrepreneur in your family. You know, it might be an e-book or, you know, a book on strategies or whatever and how to sell and market products like that. So if I'm selling that or if I'm an affiliate or if I'm a business and I have I'm trying to generate traffic, then those are some, keywords that I can use in one of my strategies as some people don't know, like, what can I get for my mom? What can I get for my brother? And you can tell them, you know, those are keywords that you can use. This would make a great gift for mom. So somebody looking up great gifts for mom, they might run into your link and go to your site. Or maybe, you know, that could be a backlink for another site that you're working with, you know, as an affiliate. That's just one strategy that you can use for the holidays. Because people are always looking to buy gifts. And especially right now, July, and people are not going to wait till September to start buying, you know, back-to-school products. So now you might want to work with a back-to-school, you know, a store that's selling school items, maybe uniforms. And it's great for your kids, you know, when they go back to school. It could be books. It could be uniforms. It could be, you know, even electronics. You know, if kids going to college, they might need a laptop, and you might be working with the electronics store as an affiliate. Hey, this would be a great gift for your kids going back to school. You know, and another thing too, if you have a website for your own, you know, your own business, you can also create a tab on your website, you know, just for maybe, you know, top 10 gift ideas. Make a list, and then by doing that, you can direct people to you know, numerous products by, I guess, putting a top 10 gift idea list on your site, and then someone surfing the internet for gift ideas, your list can grab their attention, and then you can direct them towards products that generate the highest profits for you without putting it in their face, you know, because they might not look at it that way. They're looking at it as, wow, this would be a great gift idea, not looking at the price so much.
Okay, sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, is this with the, it's endless with the internet. You know, it's still endless. Another way, too, for seasonal keywords is using maybe a pay-per-click search engine. And that could be a great way for affiliate marketing, depending on your business or your product. You can use the search engine pay-per-click, meaning that, you set up links on other people's sites, and if people click on that link, then, you know, that's, you get charged, you know, you'll pay certain fee for somebody clicking on your link. But you set up that budget. It could be a $10 budget per day or whatever it is that you can afford, and it might cost you 9 cents for that click, but then that person goes to your site, of course, they see something that they like, they purchase it, the 9 cents paid off. That's another way, that's one way of making, you know, as far as working out, generating traffic as an affiliate market. What else? Oh, yeah, email marketing. You know, if you have a mailing list, right now would be a great time to start sending out coupons for discounted pricing on different things. I mean, everybody's looking for, of course, for ways to save money. And coupons is a great way, especially through an email list. If you generated an emailing list, meaning by people opting into your site and leaving their name and email information, you can send out blasts, you know, every month just on different products that you're selling or that you're advertising within your business. And not only will you be generating traffic through, you know, through the search engines, but you'll also be generating traffic through creating backlinks because of those emails going to different sites. And if you're working with an affiliate market, if you're working with an affiliate, another company, that's another way, too, of generating income for yourself, whereas they're paying you for every time somebody goes to their site for buying a product from you. That's one of the great benefits of affiliate marketing. A lot of companies are taking advantage of it right now because it really doesn't cost you much to just put a banner on your site, you know, tracking back to, you know, their site, you know, whatever product it is.
Well, I like to ask, for affiliate marketing to really pay, don't you need to have a certain amount of traffic, you know, that you have coming already to your website?
Yeah, to your website, yeah, you already have to, you know, you have to have a certain amount of traffic already because if you have a website and it's just taking up space on the internet and not many people know about it, then it's really not going to benefit you to being, you know, to work as an affiliate with another company if you're not generating traffic because they're paying you for the traffic that they get from your site. So before you get into affiliate marketing, you might want to come out with a marketing strategy that's going to generate traffic to your own site and then, of course, bringing up your own traffic rate up. And then you can look into affiliate marketing. It's not something that you would just get into, you know, that like you can't just set up a website today and say, you know, I'm going to start venturing out into affiliate marketing. That's not going to work out that way. Yeah, so you have a split site that's already generating enough traffic on its own. And then, you know, and that way you're able to cross promote with other companies.
Okay. Well, we are going to continue on, but we'll take a Gil Scott-Heron break and listen to a little Gil Scott-Heron while we're here. And I had to see all that I have uploaded for Gil Scott. But we'll take a break, come back, and do a little recap. You do need to take notes. because this is definitely, you know, this is a lesson, and you are not going to get such a comprehensive lesson, not for free, on the internet as you will in this Christmas in July series. People are really gracious. They're sharing. The information is targeted. So I suggest you take notes, and not just take notes. Take the time to implement the notes that you've taken. Use the notes. So we're going to do a toast. Gil Scott-Heron.
We would stand.
Okay, we're back. And this is Pure T Marketing Madness. And we're at part two of Christmas in July. Yes, there's a heat wave going on, and it's hot. Now, who wants to be talking about Christmas and all that heavy stuff and gear and in July? Anybody in business. Time to get down to plan your holiday strategy, and that's what we're here to help you do. So take notes. You can Skype. Call in by Skyping Taylor Adams, the number 4, M-E. That's Taylor Adams, the number 4, me, Taylor Adams for me. Or you can call in to 646-716-7994. Again, that number is 646-716-7994. And we're on the line with Belito Garcia, who is a business development and affiliate marketing expert with Gentry Living. And we're talking affiliate marketing today and how to use it to complement your holiday selling strategy. So, Belito.
Yes.
So just tell us some of the special things that you have going on. You know, is there any specials going on with affiliate marketing or with Gentry Living? Like, what would you do for the business that, you know, needs to partner with someone and getting their strategy online? What's the process?
Well, what we do is, we sit down with the individual and we look at what they already have in place now as far as a marketing strategy. Most of the people, you know, they have websites but haven't really been using it because they figure, well, you know, I set up a website and, you know, I should be good. But the reality is that you're not good, you know, because, you know, a website basically is just is like an address. If I go somewhere and get a building and, you know, get office space and start my business out of that place, unless I advertise it, no one's going to know I'm there. And it's the same thing with the Internet. Just because you put up a website, no one really knows that you're there. So we kind of, you know, sit down with the individual, and we build a strategy as to, you know, whom they're trying to target. And because a lot of people, you know, they still want to be local. You know, with the Internet, you can reach people, you know, around the globe. So we sit down and see who the target market is. And once we decide who the target market is, you know, we see what will work best for them as far as, you know, marketing their business. There are many different ways of marketing your business. You know, a lot of people use banners, and others use pay-per-click. Some use, you know, video to really promote their business. So we sit down and we figure out the strategy. And then once we figure out the strategy, we implement it, and we hold them accountable for you know, their task on finding out their niche. What is your niche? Basically, it could be a product. You might be a massage therapist, or I know a lady that's she's a home nurse. So that's her niche. So
mm-hmm.
You know, there's different ways. You know, just because you see somebody doing something, it doesn't mean it's gonna work for you. So you got to find out, you know, what's the best way to really reach out to, you know, who you're targeting, and then implement it and try different ways and see if it works, you know, for the individual. And then once we, you know, we do that, we try different, you know, we test it out, and the best, like you said, best is to test it out for at least 90 days, whatever strategy you're going to take, you know. And if you don't notice a change, you know, in revenue or in traffic to your site, then it's time to, you know, go back to the drawing board and find out why it didn't work. And the great thing about the Internet is that most of these sites will give you insight on the different strategies that you use. So you can go back after a month and see, you know, how many visitors you had, how many returning visitors you had, you know, tell you exact information as to, you know, how far within the site did they go. Did they just go to the homepage and then leave? Or did they go to a homepage and, you know, click on one of your links? Like, you get all that information through different software that you can use just for tracking traffic. And that's a good thing. So after your review page, networking. And now I'm just
okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. Now, what I'm doing, I'm going to go through a few things, and we're going to keep bringing things back because I want the people to see how things still, you know, interchange and interact. One of the topics today that I'm supposed to discuss is event marketing. We're also waiting for a call in from Rebecca Jenkins, and I might have to call her because I don't know. I think the Skype is keeping me. I don't know if people can call in. It's a new system here, so I'm working it out week by week. But I don't know. Did you attempt to call in, Belito?
No, actually, I didn't. Once I got your message,
okay.
I didn't get the call.
Okay, then. All righty. I'm not sure if both can be done. But in the meantime, I'll pull up Rebecca's number, and we'll give her a call. And then what I want you to start thinking about when we speak with her, we're going to be talking about the look and feel of your campaign. One thing Belita was just speaking about is in any marketing campaign, whether you're doing for the holiday season or for whatever reason, I look at marketing, you know, it's two ways. You definitely need to know your target audience. And your target audience is going to let you know, by knowing your target audience intimately, they will tell you how to sell them. Now, how you go about this, because there's still a million and one ways to skin a cat. It's one of my favorite sayings. You know, there's more than one way to skin a cat. But there is. So how do you skin that cat and how do you move is going to be based off of you. So now you, your brand, your business, your voice is going to dictate how you move. That's what makes your business different from someone else's business, is your unique brand and your voice. And we all have different ways. So we look at, you know, what are your existing resources? How do you move? You know, what way do you communicate? What are you maximizing how you communicate? What are the resources you have surrounding you? And what's your unique flair? And so through that voice is how you... So now in that, when you're planning the look and feel of your campaign, that also, again, has to be incorporated because you're always working to brand your business, carry your brand. The more people see it, the more they get to know it, the more intimately they get to know it, the more connected they feel to it, the easier it is for you to convince them to buy. So you want your brand reflected in that look and feel, and at the same time, it's the holiday season. So you make a choice based off of your business. How do you want to reflect that holiday season? Then it's not, again, just all about you. You want to rely on experts who's in this field who will tell you the best way to lay things out. This is so extremely important. And if you're a small person in business and you're always looking to, you know, save a buck and I'll think I'll do it this way and I'll think I'll do it that way, which is great. But I'm going to tell you artistically, an artist is that's a special person. And there's a saying called stay in your lane. And there's a reason that a professional and an artist will recommend certain things that you may can't see. Most marketing is subliminal. It's not the obvious. So you may go in and think, I just want this picture. But you never think about what that picture is saying. When it comes to visuals, this is my only litmus test. Based on that visual, when a person see it, it has to compel a person to action. If that image does not compel a person to action, there's something wrong with it. It needs to be restructured, rethought, whatever. You know, we're not just looking for pretty pictures or things we think are great or fly or whatever. It needs to compel between our image and content, it needs to compel a person to action. And if it's if you're selling shoes, that image should make a person say, I want those shoes. And not just that I want those shoes, I have to go there and get them. How do I get them? I want those shoes. How do I get them? So the shoes have to look alluring enough to make a person say, I want those shoes. Then the copy has to tell them how to get them. And the copy should also reflect, it should solve a problem or be the answer to a dream, their hopes and dreams. That's what it needs to do. So if these shoes are fat, I'm like, would you love a funky pair of shoes like this? Or how would you, if it's a pink pair of shoes, how pretty would you look in this pink? Any different type of copy that you put down that you know will be going on in the person's mind who would want to purchase. And you connect to that through the image and copy. And that helps compel them to buy. So I really do want you to consider, depending on where you are in your business, because, you know, your cost has to outweigh your outcome. But we are talking about the holiday season. And this is many times where businesses move from being in the red to in the black. This is your time to really get sales. And to generate lots of traffic and to win that sale. It doesn't even matter. What if you're getting 10, 20, 30, 40, 100,000 hits a day to your site? If your SEO is so tight that you have everybody coming, but your image and content are not tight enough to convert these people, it's one thing to get them to the door. Now you got to convert. You got to have your conversion. These have to convert to sale. So it's a twofold thing. So you do, I'm really urging people, and you can do it in an affordable, strategic manner, but I'm really urging you now to invest in your marketing. You need to invest in SEO. It's not the cheapest thing, but it really, good SEO, quality SEO, and a great SEO foundation will really bring you the necessary traffic. There's no point in even if you're driving traffic, if these people, you're driving traffic that aren't interested in your product, so what? So when you want to drive what's called targeted traffic, it's much easier to convert these people to sales. It will show through in your sales. If you are not a, go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying that's called interrupted marketing. Is when you generate traffic from people who weren't really looking for, you know, whatever service or product you're providing. But it all comes down to keywords. Like, for instance, I was looking at a sign that said home doctor. And the first thing I was thinking is like, oh, okay, it must be a sign for someone who comes home and, you know, to your home if you need a doctor. But what it was is that it was a contractor, it was a contracting banner.
Mm-hmm.
Or a contracting company who comes out and fixes and repairs and does home remodeling. So that's like,
mm-hmm.
He used the keyword that if someone was looking for a doctor, his banner would come up because doctor was in his tag, even though it was a home doctor. So that's like interrupted marketing.
Yes, and these are some of the type of things you may have to look at where that's clever. He's the doctor for your house, and he'll fix up your house and make it, if it's sick, he'll make it well. But because there's not enough clarity in it, he drives a whole nother group of traffic that may not be interested at all in home repairs. And the thing about it, at some point in time, they probably will be. But, you know, that's a dual-edged sword because if they follow because they don't feel well, they feel they need a doctor to come out in their home, and they get there, and you're talking about houses, they're a little annoyed.
Yeah.
So sometimes it can work, sometimes it doesn't, but that's when it helps to have a professional to bounce off of. You know, sometimes, you know, that seems like a clever saying, or this looks like a pretty picture, but you never think about what the picture is stating. I've actually was, you know, speaking with a photographer, and I'm a tootus horn. Now, I will tootus horn, and he does layouts, advertising, and all. But I'm going to let you know, don't go to him and don't use him if you, I'm telling you right now, he's a professional. I don't recommend people not of quality. Don't go to him and try to tell him what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. He's not the cheapest man on the planet. He's not the most expensive. But your investment, you will get a return on your investment with him because he will give you an image that will sell. So don't, if I refer him, don't go there and don't be a quality client, okay? Go there if you're going to sit down and consult. You're going to engage him, accept what he has to say. You know, at some point in time, it's hard because we get scared because we have limited dollars. We're afraid on taking chances. But you know what you know, and you know what you don't know. And I have learned in the photography industry, I learned it totally by accident, even though I'm an amateur photographer. But when it comes to modeling and all, like, I like taking, you know, pictures going out shooting, but I never, as a professional, it's a whole different type of angle. You're shooting for a client. The shooting is for purpose. And actually, the photo shoot is the end. That's the easy thing. Everything else, every question, every movement is planning that shoot. And it's so much. Say if you wanted to do, you might think, I want to do a black and white. But you may point to a picture that have a lot of shades of gray. Well, that's called a tritone. And in that tritone shoots, you get more shades of gray than you would in a black and white. The thing about it, though, every printer doesn't print for tritone. So if you decide you want to use tritone, you now need to go make sure that you have a printer who can print tritone. There's so many little different nuances in different things that, and a professional may just tell you something, and they may not need want to break down the entire philosophy behind everything, so they just want to go get your shoot done. But just beware when it comes to photography, it is a lot of levels, a lot of nuances. You can really go for what you choose. My goal is the picture has to sell. Unless I'm just doing it for my personal means and it's artwork that I'm going to be hanging in my home for my joy, it just has to sell me. I just have to like it. But when it comes to marketing promotion for the general public, that image has to sell. And you need to have that conversation with your graphic designer, with your image consultant. You need to have that conversation to make sure that that image, that they know that. And when they're asking you too much about the details of what should be inside of it, I generally find that that's a person that can take a good picture, but they don't know about what sells. And there's just all types of symbolism. Just give you a clue. I found out an all-white background. How many people have seen an image on an all-white background? Have you seen that, Belita?
Yes.
Now, as a model, do you know what that all-white background represents?
Well, I mean, to me, it's that you're a novice.
Well, it actually represents being in your home. When you have an all-white background, it represents being in your home.
You don't want
You
really don't want to submit those kind of pictures. I mean, that's for me, my experience.
Well, it depends, you know, there can be, you know, if it's in your home and you're selling things that will be great in the home, and you want to focus on that, then that's great. But don't use an all-white background if put something that you wouldn't have in the home.
Yeah.
You know, now it looks misplaced. that's supposed to represent a comfortable place. So if you use an all-white background and say you have a model sitting down in white, the Christmas tree could be to the side. You know, it depends on what you're selling. Is it the clothing? Is it the jewelry? Is it a table placement? But it should represent something that actually goes in the home. I like an all-white background, but you throw in a whole party something, you know, something that you find in the street, a party, a L, or something that just wouldn't go in the home. The picture may not work in its purpose because, you know, the underlying symbolism is not being met because you stepped outside of it. So, you know, that's just something interesting, but that's what your ad, your graphic designer, your photographer, they know this. So this is why one of the first things, and even your marketing person, the first thing we're going to ask you are, what are your goals? Always work from your outcomes back. What do you want to happen? What do you want your target audience to feel, do, and think as a result of encountering your brand? So you need to always answer that question. So when it comes to actually designing this campaign, and part of what I said, where we come back to again, when we're talking about conversion and driving traffic and all of that, one of the things I learned about affiliate marketing, even though I'm learning a lot more since I met Belito and I've been to Gentry Living, I did learn that in choosing affiliate marketing, I say if you have an existing business and you're just doing some affiliate marketing to monetize your site, that's one thing it's good for. If you're going to have a website, why not monetize it? If you have people come and buy, you know, convert them to a sale any way you can. And especially when you have a lot of services or information, this is a great way. But one thing I realized, as I was telling you earlier, Belito, I you know, I'm working with artists. And I'm wondering, what could affiliate marketing do for me? But I have an artist that they call the Guitar Wizard. So one complimentary thing, one way I can drive certain traffic that would like the Guitar Wizard, a person who plays guitar, selling guitar lessons. There's software for guitar lessons. Mm-hmm. Things about guitar. That's a niche, but it has a following. It's called the niche market, but it has a good following.
Yes.
So if those are some of the affiliate products I choose to use, it helps me draw in the target audience. Mm-hmm. Now, just the same thing, you have to be careful if you're, say, have music that's adult music or whatnot, but you're doing affiliate on children products. You know, you always want to take in an overall look.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you have to share on some of that? On the look and feel of your campaign and affiliates and all that.
Yeah, I mean, the good thing about affiliate, it is a good way to generate extra revenue. But as a company, you should be thinking about, you know, your customers' needs. What other products or services would interest your site visitors? And then, you know, once you figure that out, then you can join those affiliate programs that would also attract your site visitors. Like, for instance, you're speaking about the artist. Yeah, the guitar lessons will be great because someone who is a follower of the artist, maybe, you know, they thrive to play the guitar just as he does or play whatever instrument that the artist plays just like they do. So guitar lessons, especially from the artist, will be a great way to generate more traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though a person might be looking for guitar lessons, might not even know that artist, but now what you're doing is you're generating traffic to that guitar artist site, because most likely they're going to look him up and be like, wow, he's giving guitar lessons, who is he?
Mm-hmm.
Traffic. And, you know, and their ways of tracking, for instance, if you have a tracker, and every time he gets someone who purchases guitar lessons from him, he can track it and see that it came from you. And then, of course, you know, he's going to reward you for generating that traffic for him. But you're only generating that traffic for him because of the keyword that you're using, and also the affiliate program that you're choosing. You're choosing an affiliate program wisely, you know, because it wouldn't make sense to for him being a musician and then you be affiliated with, you know, AutoZone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like, why am I on his site and I'm getting advertisements or getting directed towards AutoZone? Like, I'm not here for that. I don't even have a car. But because they're offering guitar lessons, that person might be interested in that, which just makes it a great combination.
Now, where that combination may work for a female artist who has a large male following, then things that you do around cars would work.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it would not, again, also it would not conflict with the major purpose, which is her music.
Exactly.
So, you know, you have to be careful that you're not inviting competition. It should
That's
be something sure. that complements, but it shouldn't interfere with yourself.
Yes.
Like, don't sell so much of Christmas stuff that people buy, but they're not buying your thing.
Yeah, it should be something that, you know, is of interest. That, you know, like I said, pay attention to your visitors.
Mm-hmm.
If your site, depending on how your site is set up, and, you know, it gives you insight on your visitors and stuff like that. It tells you the demographic. It tells you, you know, depending on how much information you're taking from them. There are some sites that actually, you know, they track cookies and stuff like that, which will allow people, you know, to give up some information on what they do or interest and stuff. And you can see, oh, okay, you know, most of my visitors are male, or most of my visitors are female, you know, ages 18 to 35. So now you know who, you know, who your target is or who your visitors are. Now you can better target them with products that will definitely attract them to come back to your site. And not only that, generate, you know, extra revenue for you, because if they buy those products, you know, if most of your visitors are women, then, yeah, you might have, you know, lingerie on there as a banner on your site for an affiliate, because they're going to buy lingerie. Or, you know, maybe have a few male products, because they might be looking to, you know, buy something for a brother or a boyfriend or a father that will work great for that, especially during times of holidays. Look, depending on what holiday it is, you know, you want to make sure that you get in an affiliate program that's going to go ahead and attract your visitors. And therefore,
And what's the great again about the affiliate? It's an implied cross promotion, because you're putting their product and you're benefiting from making that referral. So it's monetizing your site, monetizing the time on there. Like, why not capitalize off of time when you know people are buying? But it does call for some research, not just you researching. Because there's one thing, we go out and say, okay, this is our target audience, this and that. Or sometimes it's a little hard to identify your target audience. Like, I start things because I'm moved. I'm a person and I'm moved by it. Now, sometimes they're easy to identify the audience. Or sometimes I think it's easy. And sometimes I think it's a certain person here. But then I realize through, and this is why you need to make sure that you have a quality counter, that you give feedback, statistics, you know, from Google Analytics. Or I get that count. I love that count. It's easy. But I also put in Google Analytics, because Google gives you so much, but I also use that counter. You can start off free, and I always suggest people start off free till you understand the tool. Once you understand it, all the information and how to use it, then you should invest in paying for it. But while you're still trying to figure it out, it doesn't need to pay for it, but you don't have a clue what the value what you have. I look at keywords, like I might put keywords, the keywords that bring people to my site to be totally different. Like, found valuation of businesses, and there's another community interest that I never thought of that actually brings people to my Space Value Tour site. Now, the social community, 90% of the traffic is coming from Black history. We have Hugh. Is a member. He puts his blog post from Black in Time, a moment in our history. And it is driving 90% of the traffic. Frederick Douglass, black history figures. So that lets you know right there, okay, Frederick Douglass is one of the biggest keywords. You didn't know, but that's where it's two-way research. It's you research, and then you target outwards. Now you have to believe that, see who's actually coming. How do you identify that? So one way to lead Capricorn, right? Believe it.
I'm having a hard time hearing you right now. I don't know if it's my phone or not. But,
okay, maybe not. Okay, is this better?
What was the question?
Okay, I'm saying part of a different one. One of the ways you can use to capture to get some demographics on your visitors, other than a quality tracking at Google Analytics, quality analytics, is also using the capture, right?
I didn't hear you. It was breaking up. I think it's my phone. I don't know. But, I mean, I haven't moved. I'm in the same position.
I hear you just as well. I don't know if I have anyone else in the chat. Okay. Well, yeah. Can you hear me at all now?
Yeah, I mean, I can hear you, but it's in and out. So I don't know if I'm sounding, maybe I can't tell
yeah.
the connection.
I don't know. Initially, you were going in and out a bit, but maybe it's from movement. Is my voice more consistent now?
Yeah, it's a little bit more consistent now than it was earlier.
Okay. I just stay still, make some movement. So I was just saying, using a cat form or a subscribe form, that's a good way to get additional data on your traffic company.
I didn't get the whole question. Are you asking me an additional way to track traffic on your site? Is that what you said?
I'm specifically using a lead capture form. When people come to your site, have them subscribe, sign up for your email list, some way to capture their information when they get there.
Oh, I mean, there are different sites. Like, I use AWeber, which keeps track of everyone. Like, once everybody, anyone who opts into my site, it goes through AWeber, which is one of the softwares that we use. And what it does is it stores it in kind of like, you know, like a mailing list. And then that way we can go back and we can see all our visitors. It tells us, you know, what page they went on to, if they were just on a home page and then left, or if they went on our home page and, you know, probably clicked on different links and went to other articles. Pretty much it gives you a track of, you know, their whole time spent on your site.
Yeah. And then does AWeber also have autoresponders that you can send up that you can respond to people accordingly based off of their activity or what they subscribe to, what their interests were?
Yeah, that too. Well, we can go back. Well, we can set it up as to, you know, we build different funnels within our AWeber where it can connect everywhere that the customer went to or the visitor went, and then based on the information that we get from them, it then also sends an autoresponder through the funnel that they visit.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do right now, we're going to play a little bit. I'm going to put on another nice jazz tune, and I'm going to attempt to get Rebecca on the line. So we're going to do a little Boney James right now. Thank you. Okay, we're back, and it's Pure Tea Marketing Madness. And you are here on part two of Christmas in July. And we're talking about affiliate marketing. We've been talking about the look and feel of your campaign, you know, engaging a professional to make sure that your imagery reflects you, your brand, and that your image is and content. Your image and your copy compels people to action. I'm on the line with our special guest, Belito Garcia, who's a business development and affiliate marketing expert with Gentry Living. And now we're going to move on. And as you see, different things that we've done, how affiliate marketing can consistently be interweaved into your internet marketing campaign. So now we're going to move on, because I think we both can speak on this, is event marketing. It's the holiday season. Event marketing is a large part of it. And your event marketing comes in different parts. One, trade shows. So if you have a product or service, you know, finding out those trends, what's going on for the season, what's being done in the industry, those are the trade shows. You want to go there. If you're a buyer, you need to buy your product and different things, you need to go to these shows. So attending a show is still an opportunity for you to market yourself. So, Belito, how would you say you would market yourself as an attendee to a trade show where you're going searching out for what's going on and what are the trends for the season and you're looking and you're buying? How would you look at marketing yourself at a trade event? Belito, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, yes, I can hear you.
Okay. Yeah, usually, with, you know, going to a trade event, you know, one of the things that I do is I just try to build a relationship with, you know, the many different vendors there. How I can be of service to them, not so much as to what they can do for me. Because most of the time, they're there to, you know, to basically to build more, I guess, build revenue is one, to sell their products, to get their products out there. So I kind of just engage in conversation about their business, and I try to see what strategy they have. And then from there, you know, introduce what I do, and then basically just try to offer, you know, some kind of assistance that's helping them with their brand. Whether it be a service or product that they're selling. Mm-hmm. And pretty much go from there. I don't always come out, you know, selling myself. I pretty much sell my service.
That's great. Also another thing to look at, by building relationships, you know, necessary relationships, at a trade show, what happens is you're connecting with people within your industry. Mm-hmm. And there are a few different things. This happens in the grant field, in the sponsorship field. Lee Green, who just passed away, but he's founder of the National Black Business Trade Association, Black Business Space, Black Business Builders Club. Over in Black Business Space, the saying is, it's not who you know, but it's about who knows you. When a proposal or anything comes across the table, do people know you? Do they feel akin to you? And as far as what's going on in the industry, to have a heads up, what's new, what specials are coming out, what deals. That's, you know, it's a networking type of thing when you go to a trade show. So if you're kind of an outsider, people greet you, okay. But then if they feel like they know you, they may call up and say, well, you know what, this is going to be on. Well, we're going to be having this special and all that, and that's probably a good time for you to buy in bulk. or did you know that so-and-so in the industry, they're going to be doing this? Let you in on a note. That's, trade shows are great for networking. They're great for networking. And the more you get to know people, a lot of times people attend the same shows over and over, and you build relationships over time. But when your name comes up or come across that table, you might want to call on that person, a sponsor, or to do something to help out. You're no longer a stranger. And because of that, they have a better ear for whatever you have to say. And a lot of times just sharing information that will really save you a lot of money or get your heads up on trends, which is, you know, definitely important. If you're the first one to have it coming out, especially if that's relevant to your industry. Some industries, it's important to be the first one that helps you stand out.
Yeah.
Now, now we have two other type of events. Events that you create and events that you participate in. A trade show, like we said, that's an industry event. That's where you're going to see what's going on in your industry. And a lot of times that's where you're buying. But now if you can participate as a vendor at an event and you can host the event. Mm-hmm. Now participating as a vendor, there's a certain criteria you must always look at. First, is my target audience going to be there? Mm-hmm. If not, don't make the stretch. Just because it's a holiday thing, if you want to go support that event, then support that event as a person. But when it comes to vending, it's a few things. You have to pay to vend. You have to have product. And if even if you have services, you have to have things on your table. You have to invest in money in populating that table.
Mm-hmm.
So now, after you've spent all this money, you have to get a profit. So there has to be somebody there who's going to buy your product, buy your service, some way to get a return on your investment. So the first way to calculate that, is my target audience really going to be there? And definitely you ask the promoters, but you have to see for yourself. How are they promoting it? Are they really promoting it in a way that your target audience is going to come out? It could be a wonderful, great event, but if there are no heavy promotions, what makes you think that there's going to be a lot of people there? If they're not going to be a lot of people, so now the question becomes, and that could still be okay, but depending on how many vendors are going to be there.
Yeah.
If this, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, not only that, you also have to be aware of, you know, are they going to be other vendors with the same products or services as you?
Yes. That's, you know, competition. And that could be fine if it's enough people there. If you're going to major, if it's a major expo where it's going to be thousands of people and there are a couple book vendors and you sell books, that's okay. But, you know, if there's going to be 100 people there and there's two or more book vendors, now, say if there's total 10 vendors all together and two of them have books. Now, if there are 10 vendors all together, and equally, and there's 100 people there, you equally divide the people. That's 10 people at each table. So, you know, and then your conversion is generally 1%. You might make one sale out of 10. Now you got to divide your 10 up with the other book vendor. So, you know, looking at those numbers, this may not be a good event for me to vend at because chances are I'm not going to get a return on my investment. And you really have to look at that. You strategically look at an event. Now, what if you feel it's a good event you want to support, but maybe it's not a good event to vend at? Maybe you just want to then buy an advertisement. If they have a book, buy an advertisement. Or even a lot of times, think of something that they don't. They may not have a book, but ask them, do you have a place where I can hang a nice visual poster? And they may say, well, yeah. Well, spend money, take the same money that you would do the table and put up a poster in a prominent place and come out and interact with people. use your business card, interact with people. It gives the appearance of a sponsor. They may or may not ask for a sponsor. But this way, you get the appearance of a sponsor. Or if it's an event that's worth sponsoring, then sponsor it. Like, I'll give you an example where there's a marketplace, but not always a large turnout. So I don't want you to take it because there still may be a large turnout this year. This is a couple years ago or more. Sometimes there's not a large turnout to the Buy Black Expo with the National Alliance of Market Developers. This is not current. But they also, when they have their expo and when they have their events, they always have a panel discussion. So you have these professionals, you got potential business-to-business customers right there on a panel. You have people that come in just to hear the panel. Then it's another group of people. Then, you know, the shopping is the third thing. So you may prefer to invest money into sponsoring that event because now these businesses look at you in a certain light as well as the participants, especially those people who are coming for the workshop. So if it would benefit you to be viewed that way, that may be a more wiser use of that to market for that event. Always know, whenever you do an event, ask the people, how are they marketing? They always give you these great sponsorship packages. But when you're dealing with smaller business, a lot of times you need to make, or organizations need to make sure that they're actually doing what they say they're going to do. And for me, a lot of packages aren't worth it.
Yeah.
A lot of the packages, you know, I know a lot of the companies that sponsor these events only do it for the PR, or there's something else, other part of relationship they're looking for. I do know Comcast supported the National Political Congress of Black Women because as a cable company, they have to deal with a lot of legislation. So they want to make friends in the political arena. They you know, there was a reason beyond the sale. So these are, you know, different reasons you have to look at. But when it comes to event marketing, you know, you want to look at, you know, what can you get out the event if it's one that you're attending. And you need to evaluate it to see if you're going to, if it's worthy, if you're gonna get, if it's worth your time. If it's worth the time and the money, you need to look at it. But there's some creative ways of doing things. And there are also times when you just need to say, nice event, good people, but this doesn't work for me in this capacity. So you definitely want to look at how many expected attendees, and you want to look at how they're marketing it. Because if they're not doing much promotions, chances are a whole lot of people aren't going to come out, and people aren't going to know about your brand anyway. Even if they have the banners on the website, and they had the posters out, if they're not being distributed, if there's not much traffic coming to their website, if they're not investing, like festivals and things, even if you're a small business and all, you need to invest in radio. There's just some things that lend best to radio. You need at least $1,000 to start having a conversation with a good radio station. But you need to do it. It's going to provide you a return on your investment. So, go ahead, Belita.
No, I was saying radio is definitely great. A lot of people overlook it. They figure that they don't need it. But depending on your target margin, whoever you're targeting, I mean, there's a station for every age group. You know, there's a station for different genres. So you just pick your station based on who your target market is, and you go from there. And like I said, it can be real effective.
Yes, radio can be very effective, but that does, and radio at the same time is not the end all, the be all. This is where, but I'm just saying sometimes people think, I have an event, I got to do radio, or I'm doing this, it has to be radio. Not, you know, it's all strategic. Radio definitely is good for a lot of type of events where people have to walk in a door. Radio is good for a lot of those type of things. But there's some things that radio, and radio's not cheap. So you want to make sure that radio is going to work for, you know, it's the proper medium for what you're working with, because radio's not cheap. But there's some things that print is way better. Like people can say sales and all, but probably I would say if it's clothing and sales, if you have, you know, products, things like that that you're buying, I would always say print works better because it's the visual. People are looking at the visual, so your print, internet, you know, the radio works with the audio. Events, the visual is okay, but it is something about the excitement and inflections and the voice of the announcer that makes me feel like it's the place I want to be. Another thing, too, is having that the right person say the message. If so-and-so says it, then it's the place, you know, just because he said it, it seems like it's the place to be, even though it could just be a commercial. He has no connection to it. He's reading it. But I've had clients at times that specifically asked for it. Like Sound of Philadelphia play that they were doing, musical that they were doing in Jersey, they wanted Patty Jackson. They had to have Patty Jackson be the one who announced it. Because of Patty Jackson following, they knew if Patty Jackson said it, people would come out. And that was the truth. So, now, what about, you know, as a host and all, what do you say about, you know, putting on events to help market your business and different things for the holiday season? Is the holiday season a good time to do events? And then if it is, how do you get past the point of having an event, people coming out to the event, to people actually using your service or product after the event?
One of the great things about, I mean, as far as holiday events, you got to be careful as to when and which holiday you want to have your event at. I mean, because then you got to compete with, you know, all the major, you know, the heavy hitters who are able to spend, you know, money on television, yeah, radio, billboards, and, you know, advertisements on, you know, like transit media, you know, promotions and stuff like that, because they're the ones that are going to attract everyone. I mean, especially if you're targeting the same people as they are. So you got to be careful with putting together events during holidays. I mean, the best thing I tell everybody when setting up events for a specific holiday, do it maybe a few weeks prior to the actual holiday. One of the holidays, I know that a lot of people like is Thanksgiving and New Year's. And I always tell people, Thanksgiving is tough because either you do it before Thanksgiving or after Thanksgiving, not during that week of Thanksgiving, because you're not going to get, you might not get anyone to come to your event, depending on
how you market.
Yes,
true, because it's a family, one, it's a family holiday. And generally, the people that go out that weekend, they're generally, they're certain type of party people. They party no matter what.
Yeah.
But Thanksgiving is considered a family holiday. So, you really, I would probably, and it, again, depends on your business, what's your business, what's your line of business. But since you're planned early, why not plan a pre-holiday?
Yeah,
it may be great to do a Christmas in July, depending on your market, or Christmas for Halloween, whatever you could call it. You could have the harvest celebration. You know, before we actually get to the Christmas season, as Belito has mentioned earlier, July 5th starts the back-to-school season.
Yep.
So July 5th, they're worried about going back to school because students will be in school in August.
Mm-hmm.
So the back-to-school season starts July 5th. Once the kids are in school, next you have Halloween. After Halloween, you have Thanksgiving. And then the quote-unquote holiday season, shopping kicks off after that. So you really, you know, it's just different things you look at just make sure that your event, whatever it does, if you want to have sales beyond the event should always focus on the product. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you an example. I haven't done it lately, but at one time I was a warm spirit representative, which was all natural body and wellness. And you had the opportunity of certified self-care consultant. So let's make you balance mind, body, and soul. So I wanted to do an event. And again, using my resources, I knew a lot of poets. And this time, Philly Through My Ear, Will Smith Sr., they were releasing, they had Lucky Thompson DNA, and we listened to that at the top, The Prowler. And Alfie, everybody think knows Alfie here in the city, jazz artist. Alfie had released his album, and Lucky had released his album on the Philly Through My Ear label. So as an attraction for them, since they had a new thing, at the Clef Club, I did what was called poetry, jazz, and pampering. But I didn't just do the event. I sent out a press release. And in the press release, we talked about this is the season, even though it's the holiday season, it's a big depression season. People go through a lot of depression. They feel a lot of pressure. I purposely had it the first weekend in December. As Bolito said, I really didn't want to have to compete with everyone. But people, by then, they're really starting to shop. So, and then it comes into the setup. We literally, when you come in, I allowed different consultants to come in. Everyone was set up, but it was all set up with the body and wellness care. Massage therapists came in. You could get, you got massages. Very calming atmosphere. We use, already use soy candles, so that's part of our promotion anyway. When you walk in, you smell and feel. It's a lot of women. So Stephanie from Zenman First, Zenman did promotions. They gave us bags with coupons because they know shopping season, women. So we use Zenman Fur bags, we use the coupons, and we had giveaways. So people came in, had giveaways and different things. Tamlin was a sweetheart. He was the MC, and he blasted it all over the radio. And so much so that it scared the owner because we were in a smaller room. He said, I can't fit all those people. They keep people from the radio, keep calling. I said, Mr. Gardner, they're not going to all come at one time. But it's using your resources and your friends. So, Tamlin did the news, but he, gave us a shout-out on the radio. It brought people. He was a host. People had a chance to buy the album. They had jazz. Poets came out and did poetry. And it was complemented with body and wellness care products that people had packaged up real nice and real pretty. And again, my goal was to make sales, but also to make relationships long-term that I could follow through with people. And it gave me a certain following because if people sold Warm Spirit products, I would also make money off of them. But it gave me a following of practitioners, people that, provided services. I showed them how to complement their business in a sense like an affiliate marketing by selling these complimentary products for their healing services that they provided, from massage to different type of healing. So, basically what I'm saying in that whatever event you put on, it should always be, again, you want to know what your end results are. What do you want out of it? And it should always reflect your business. So if you give a party, don't just say, oh, we're going to party, and people come, they party, they leave. And they never think about calling you for your business again. And I see that all the time. I consulted some women, and she's starting, I think she's starting an adult toy. But as she talked, the more she talked to me about the event, the more she was getting away from her product. It was supposed to be her business launch. So they're at a pole dancing place. People are pole dancing. The establishment is selling shirts. Everything is going on, but she hasn't incorporated anything, any of her products or her business into the event except for giving it. So you always, if you're going to do event marketing, that's the whole thing. It's just, it's hosting an event to market something. Always don't lose sight of what you're marketing. And a lot of times, go ahead.
So you have to have an objective. You know, what do you want to get through with your marketing and with your campaign?
Mm-hmm.
Are you trying to bring awareness to something, or are you trying to, you know, advertise to get sponsors, or, you know, what is it that you're doing that, you know, your campaign is marketing for?
Yes.
A lot of people lose touch of that. And with that, you also got to have a call to action with what you do. I mean, the lady that you used as an example, she didn't have a call to action other than, you know, a gift bag. So people took a gift bag and went on about their business. You know,
yeah. I don't even think at first she had gift bags. I don't think she had gift bags at first. She just, they came in, they got the pole dance. She says DJ. She showed me where the DJ was going to be playing music. They got the opportunity to pole dance where the woman was going to have things set up. And she did have an area that was not as prominent as the venue's area. She had a place where she's going to have her things set up. But I said, what are they going to do while they're here? Now, this is where we get into activation. When you do events, event marketing and all, there should be some type of activation activity. Say if you're at a ball game or even at this event that she's giving, she's selling adult toy products. At some point in time during the festivities for the day, it should have been some way, if you sign up to become a consultant, the first person to sign up, the oldest person, the youngest person, they always have games like that, but that should have been incorporated to sign up can get this. It always needs to be reminded throughout why the people are there.
Yeah.
If you purchase this, then you can get this extra. You want to get a T-shirt from the pole dancing place. Well, if you purchase this package or you spend this much money, you'll get a free pole dancing T-shirt. Or I'll give you a free pole dancing lesson. That's how you cross-promote. But the center focus should always be your business. But she got so into giving a nice event that she forgot about promoting her business. And actually, you know, going off and getting, you know, that's the reason why the people are coming. You're coming here to launch your business. So you always want to make that the focus. And like I said, those activation events, there's so many ways. If you're working with a bank and your bank is your sponsor, and it's really important to think of these things when you have people sponsoring you. You often incorporate your sponsors into what's going on and actually into the activity, not just that they sponsored it, but how do you mention a sponsor? How do you get the people to connect with the sponsor? Yeah. So those are the type of things that you look at when you're putting together an event and when you're building a strategy and working with someone, working with your marketing professional, your consultant. You look at adding these things into the strategy. So we're down to 14 minutes before we get to the end of the show. So what we want to do is just, you know, close this out. I guess what I like to do, I'm going to give some more keywords. And then, Bolito, you look at giving us a closing statement, what you would like to say. Of course, make sure you have your contact information. Put it in the chat room, but you definitely want to give that out. But just to start off, if you want to look at it while we're going through these keywords and everything, just go to www.gentryliving.com. That's GENTRYLIVING.com. And Belita later on will tell you how you can get, you know, more direct contact. Well, let's look at some of these keywords. We gave you 18 before, so we'll give you 19 and 43. We're back at the Christmas list. Those Christmas recipes, Christmas party, Christmas spirit, Christmas stocking, Christmas tree, Christmas wish list, collectible ornament, comet, crochet, C-R-E-C-H-E, Cupid, surprisingly, deck the hall, decorating, decoration, decorative, Disney Christmas, Donner, another reindeer, Dreidel, D-R-E-I-D-E-L, Dreidel, L, free shipping, Frosty the Snowman, Frosty, Fruitcake, Hanukkah, and it says misspelling. So, is Hanukkah spelled H-A-N-U-K-A-H, which is misspelled, but that's still a big keyword, Hanukkah with one K, and Hanukkah spelled correctly with two Ks, H-A-N-U-K-K-A-H. And the last one so far is Holiday Gift Guide. So those are some more keywords for you.
Another way, great way to also find keywords too, most popular ones, I don't know, depending on what browser you use, if you go, you know, to whatever search engine you're using, you put in, for instance, holidays. You start typing in holidays, and, you know, it'll drop down, will come down with different searches that are the most popular searches for holiday.
Yes.
So those are, you know, a lot of times, if you're posting images online, you might want to use those keywords as tags for your images. That's another way,
yes,
too. Those are real popular searches. So because they're popular searches, then if you're using them as alt tags for your images, then that means your image will come up in that search. And then what it will do also is that image will carry the links back to your site because you posted that image with that key, with that alt tag on it. That's another thing to think about, too, when it comes to setting up stuff online.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're really getting the skinny, everyone. But yeah, it's really important. We talked about that last week about using alternate tags on your images because, honestly, it crawls text. It doesn't crawl images. So it reads your image through the alt tag.
Yeah.
So you definitely, whenever you post an image on the internet, always put in an alternate tag, and you always have the choice to do that. If it's a title, it'll say alternate text. It'll be a place where you can put information, and you need to put that information because that's what helps people find you. Like those keywords, you know, incorporate them in, you know, a lot of different ways, but you know, we're giving you a list of keywords, so you know that if you're focusing on your holiday sale, you need to have those words incorporated throughout your copy and your different products or whatnot so that people who are ready to shop, those are the terms that they use. And what I'm going to do this time, I'm going to call off the last of these in less than 30 seconds. But what I'm going to do that's real cool is I forgot I'm here and I can do all of these new things with the new studio. So I'm going to do this to the backdrop of the Prowler so it doesn't sound so boring by reading them off. So this is the last group and places that you can go. One good resource is Google Keyword Tool. If you Google that, that's a good place to help you find keywords that are relevant to your site or what you're looking for. So this is the last group of keywords. This is number 57 through 78. We're going to do this in less than 30 seconds to the backdrop of the Prowler. Nativity, Noel, ornament, overnight shipping, party, hold, present, North Pole, reindeer, Santa Claus, Santa, Silent Night, sleigh, snowman, snowman, stable, star, tree, vixen, wrapping paper, wreath, and Yuletide. Hey. Well, you replayed it. Replay it if you can't remember it. All right. Okay. So now we're back, and we're ready to close out. And we have Belito Garcia, and I just thank you so much, sir, for being here. And just to let everybody know, Belito will be back with me. I think I'm just going to have him as a partner on my marketing shows anyway. But he'll be back with us on Thursday, July 28th for the Arts and Entertainment Edition. Then he will be speaking from the Voice of an Artist. So on the Arts and Entertainment Edition, that's a special edition. So artists, indie labels, you really, really, really need to have your ear in on this one. An artist is a business unto themselves, and it's time you behave as if you are a business and act accordingly. To be honest, everything that we're stating that the businesses should do in the B2B series is the same that we're going to really basically go over in Arts and Entertainment. But we are going to talk about certain strategies and promotions and that's relevant to the arts and entertainment industry. And in that, please be mindful of your seasons for your industry. Each industry has its season. One thing that's popular during the holiday seasons are calendars. Most calendars, the bulk of calendars hit by November 1st. They start coming out in September. People are buying calendars by November the 1st. In order for you to have your calendar ready by November the 1st, to be honest, everything needs to be to the printer this month in July. Because it's their busy season. Everybody's trying to get their calendars ready for the holiday season, so they're being bombarded. It's just they, when July 5th hit, December 5th hits, you know, retailers are bombarded with sales. People's like, you know, they're bombarded from this on. And if you're trying to get some wholesale or order online, it's a chance that you may or may not be able to get it in time for Christmas after a certain date. That's the same thing that happens as far as the printing season. So if you are doing a big print job and you really want to do it, now is the time. You need to know your industry seasons. Each industry has its own seasons, and you need to adhere to that. And we are going to talk about that in the arts and entertainment. Just like the acting palette season is January in L.A. It's just, you know your seasons and how to prepare for them. So we have 4 minutes left. This is what I need from you, Belito. Mm-hmm. I need you to give us your contact information. And any closing advice you like to give? You have the whole world listening. What would you say?
All right. Well, what I would tell the whole world is that one of the things that I always tell myself every day is that happiness has nothing to do with money, goals, or financial stability. Happiness is understanding who you are. So once you really understand who you are, then you can really get into ways of making money, understanding your goals, and becoming financially stable.
Wow.
I wanted to say to everybody. That's a lot of
powerful statement.
You know, so stop trying to keep up with Joneses or whatever. Really understand who you are. Find your niche, and in finding your niche, that's whatever your gift or your talent is, that's what's going to really get you to be free. And I mean, what I mean free is like you'll be able to really live the life that you were put in this world to live and fulfill your purpose. So remember that. Happiness is understanding who you are. My contact information, my website is venturyliving.com, and that's the information website. There's all kinds of information on there, affiliate marketing, online marketing, home business, entrepreneurship, franchises. There's information on there on basically it's a site for entrepreneurs. If you're an entrepreneur and you're looking for direction, then you might be able to find that at my site. So just it's a lady go to DentryLiving.com, and I can be reached at Belito@DentryLiving.com, and that's my email address. But we also have, you can leave comments on our site. We have a Facebook page, which is Join Dentry Living. If you look up Dentry Living, it'll come up. Join Dentry Living, that's our site.
You said Join J-O-I-N?
Yes, J-O-I-N. Join Dentry Living is our Facebook fan page. And we post all kinds of information on there. We share other articles that people from other sites, you know, affiliate sites that we work with, they might post different things. We have information on social media marketing. That's basically just using Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn to market your business and create a branding for yourself. And we're also on Twitter, and we're on LinkedIn, you know. But, I'm on Facebook all the time. My own personal Facebook account is Belito Garcia. So if you go on Facebook and just look up Belito Garcia, you'll find me there. And, but like I said, we also have a fan page for Gentry Living, which is Join Gentry Living. And we're all about helping entrepreneurs reach that goal and really help them with marketing themselves on the internet, whether brick and mortar or just starting a home-based business on the internet. We'll show you and coach you as to how to really get the best of that.
All righty. Well, that sounds real good, real great, and we've been blessed to have you on. Again, like I said, I thank you. This is part two. Part three is next week, 1 p.m. Please tell more people, more people, more people. Next week we have some great people coming. We have people coming. We're looking at Ion Interactive. Talk about landing pages. One of our SEO experts. And we're talking about going mobile. So we have a representative from Mobile Storm. We're going to talk about building your mobile campaign. You need to be mobile. If you don't listen to any other show, you need to hear this show about how to build your mobile campaign. And, then we're going to close it out with a brainstorming session on Wednesday, July 27th, and a phenomenal advertising panel, including Suleiman Rahman. We just have some great people, Earl Harvey, just some great people coming. And then that Thursday, July 28th, is the Entertainment Edition. So you just want to make sure that you're part of it. So at this time, we're just going to say peace. Have a great day. Day has on the West Coast. I mean, we're all just getting started. We're just into the grind of our day. I hope this has been valuable information for you. Please replay, share, take notes. And in August, the free e-workbook will be available to you. So you can just, all you have to do is go in, subscribe. Just go to the show. You'll see the subscribe link. Subscribe. Check off that you want the book. When the e-book is available, we will send it to you. All the interviews there, plus a nice format for you to take notes, write out, and develop your holiday selling strategy. I'm Jacqueline Taylor Adams, marketing strategist. You can catch me at TaylorAdams4ME.com. I've been your host for this moment in time. I thank you. Peace and love.